It says there in verse 6, as ye have received, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now this is an admonition. Paul is admonishing believers here to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ as they received Him. They was taught this. Be established in the faith as you've been taught. Walk in Christ as you've been taught. And an admonition to believers, what that admonition means is putting in mind, to warn, to instruct. It means to train by word, to admonish somebody, to train them by word, encourage them by the word. And that's what the apostle does all the way through this chapter. The first thing he does, he exhorts these believers to unity. He says there in verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Being knit together in love. And you know, what this means is this, is that when you have two different notes, you got to make the notes come out in harmony. And we have all these different notes, all of us different notes. God in His sovereign mercy brings us together. And we're all in the same tune. We're all in the same harmony. And He says, be knit together. Your heart's being knit together in love. Just intertwined together in love. And then He commends them there in verse 5. He commends them. For though I be absent in the flesh, I'm not there with you. I'm not there bodily. Yet I'm with you in the spirit. My heart and spirit's for you. And it's with you. And when I'm there with you by my spirit, and I understand and rejoice in you, joying in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Oh, and I understand. And people tell me how you behold Christ and you rejoice in Christ and your order and your steadfastness in Christ. Oh, I'm blessed God for you. And I'm there with you. And then He warns them in verse 4. He gives them some serious warnings. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. That word beguile means to bait you. To bait you. To mesmerize you. And lest any man should bait you, put bait out and take you in the snare and beguile you with enticing words. Entice you away from Christ. Entice you to your own goodness and your own morality. Entice you back to works. Entice you into keeping certain days. And that's what he meant down in verse 8. He gives them another warning. And beware, lest any man spoil you, strip you. Strip you of what you have in Christ through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men. Come and take the tradition of men. To start telling, setting the tradition of men in the place of Christ. After the rudiments of the world. After the elements of the world. Touch not, taste not, handle not. All of these things are going to perish with the use. And that's why he says, don't let anybody spoil you with the elements of this world. And it's not after Christ. If they bring you anything that's not after Christ, he said, you beware of them. That's what he's saying here. And then look what he does. He sets forth our Lord Jesus Christ in His power, in His person, in His glory. In verse 9, for in Him, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's why don't go into anybody that sets Christ in nothing but Christ before you, because everything that God is, everything that God is dwells in Christ. Completely and perfectly, and when He was in His body. And look at this. This is another reason why He says, don't let nobody spoil you. Don't be beguiled with enticing words. You are complete in Him. Perfect in Him. Full in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. And oh, that's what He says here in verse 10, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins. And oh, He shows us what we have in Christ, that we was quickened together with Him. He's forgiven you all your trespasses. And how did he do it? He blotted all your trespasses that was against you. He took them out of the way, nailed it to his cross, and spoiled and stripped all authorities of their power over you. Over you. And then he comes back here and he says, because of this, because of all these warnings and all we have in Christ, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. Walk in Him as you've received Him. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you what I told you. You reckon that'll work? First of all, it's a fact stated. You have received Christ Jesus the Lord. There is a people in this world that has received the Lord Jesus Christ. They've received Him. And secondly, He says, walk in Him. He exhorts us to walk in Him. Walk in Christ Jesus the Lord. And then third thing I'm going to talk about is how are we to walk in Him? How are we to walk in Him? So let's look at the first one. It is a fact. This is a fact. There is a people in this world that has received the Lord Jesus Christ. And all believers, every believer has received the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Not just some things about Christ. Christ Himself. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. We have received Christ Himself. I mean, we've received His Word. Yes, we rejoice in His Word. We believe His Word. We submit to His Word. We receive the doctrine of Christ. All the things concerning Christ. We want the doctrine of Christ. We delight in the doctrine of Christ. The teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in His precepts, walking in Him, loving Him, obeying Him, loving one another. This commandment have I given unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Walk in humility. He that humbleth himself. We take the precepts of Christ. We take His ordinances and we rejoice in them. Baptism. That's our confession of faith in Christ. And the Lord's Supper. We take that bread and wine and memorial and remember what He did for us. And we've received Christ Himself. We rejoice in these things. But we've received the Lord Jesus Himself. His person. The Godhead dwells in Him completely and perfectly and absolutely so. All the fullness of His person. We've seen His person. He's God. He is God. When I was in the prison the other night, there was a Muslim came in. And Milton said it surprised him that he's one of the main leaders in the Muslim community in there. And he came in and brought a King James Version of the Bible, and I didn't even know it. And I set forth Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, Himself. Christ is God. Allah is not God. Christ is God. Amen. Christ is God. Was God, is God, and will always be God. The only God you'll see when you get to glory is the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on His throne.
Amen.
Huh? With the evidence of His redeeming work in His body as He sits there and we behold His hands and His feet.
Yes.
Huh? And oh, we received Him in His humanity. We understand, beloved, that He was flesh. That He is, Brother Bruce Crabtree says all the time. He said He assumed our humanity. He identified with our humanity. That's why He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was as much a man as we are, yet without sin. You could touch Him, you could feel Him, you could slap Him, you could hurt Him, you could cut Him, and He'd bleed. Now there's a distinction. In receiving our Lord's doctrine, there's a distinction in receiving His precepts and ordinances and receiving Him.
Amen.
I know lots of men. I know lots of men. And have no problem, I wouldn't have a bit of problem telling you who they are privately. But oh, beloved, they've received all these things. They've received the doctrine. They received His precepts. But they've not yet received Him. There's a big difference. A big, big difference. There's a great, great difference in the outward reception of doctrine. and the inward reception of Christ. That rich young ruler came to Jesus, bowing to Christ, saying, what good thing could I do to inherit eternal life? He bowed to Christ. He ran to Christ. He got down and asked the right question and walked away, having not received Christ. He believed that Jesus. How many people have been all their life believing that Jesus is the Savior? They're going to put Him in a manger coming up Christmas. And then next Easter, they're going to put Him back on the cross and then talk about the resurrection. But oh, beloved, we don't receive just doctrine. We receive Christ Himself. And as Henry Mayhem says, you don't get to Christ through doctrine. You get to doctrine through Christ. Yes. When you come to Christ, you get everything that goes with Him. And if you stop at just learning doctrine and get satisfied with what you know in your head, you'll never be satisfied and never know Christ until He becomes real and alive and vital to you. Huh? And this is a mystery. This is a mystery. Let me show you in 1 John. This is a mystery, receiving Christ. It's a mystery. I can't explain it to you. I can't explain what it is to receive Christ. I really can't, you know. All I know is that there's a people that's done it. How in the world we... I know it's by faith, and I'm going to deal with all that here in a minute. But it's a mystery. I don't know if you have, and you don't know if I have, except by our public confession of that. Look what he says here in verse 7, 1 John 1. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. With who? With God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? That God is light, no darkness in Him. If we walk in the light, if we walk in the light of His Word, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, with the Father and with the Son, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us of all of our sin. I mean, how do we walk and commune and have fellowship with the Father and with the Son? But we do. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And oh, beloved, let me go back to this now. So we've received out the Lord Jesus Himself. Himself, His own person. Oh, we love His person. We delight in His person. This blessed book's about a person, and we want to know that person. I know the President of the United States. I know his name is George Walker Bush. I know that. I know he lives in Crawford, Texas. I know a lot of things about him, but I do not know him personally. I've never sat down with him. Never communed with him. I don't know what he's like as a person. I really don't. And I know his office. And that's the way a lot of people are about Christ. They know all about the offices and know all about some things about Him, but they've never sat down and they don't really, really know Him. Ain't that right? Huh? Well, let me tell you this about the believer. Not only has he received Christ Himself, but he's received the Lord Jesus Christ into his knowledge. You know, you got to know some things in order to know Christ. And if you know Christ, you know some things about Him. He, like I said, we know Him to be God and man. Ain't that what it says there in verse 9? For in Him dwelleth. That dwelleth means it abides there. It's continually there. All the fullness of the Godhead. How full is God? How full is God? How full is He of eternity and sovereignty and power and love and grace and righteousness and holiness? Long suffering. How full is God of these things? Ever how full Christ is? And Christ is. And all beloved. And what's this? You're complete in Him. If you got everything that God is and everything that God has, it's in Christ. And if you got Christ, then you got all that God is in Him. You're complete in Him. Huh? Oh, beloved, we know Him to be God and man. And He is set forth as by the Father as the Redeemer. God sent him forth to be the redemption of his people. Sent him forth to be the propitiation for his people.
Amen.
In whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of our sins. Oh my, we understand, beloved, that we needed a redeemer, and Christ is that redeemer. He came and paid the price for our sins. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he by himself purged our sins. Entered once into the holy place with his own blood.
Yeah.
Oh, God set him forth to be the redeemer. And we know him by personal acquaintance. We know our redeemer by personal acquaintance. So the believer's eyes has never seen Christ. And yet we look to him. We look to him. Our hands have never handled him. And yet there's been a secret touch. There's been a touch between him and us. And everything that he has flowed into us. And we know it. Huh? We've never sat down at a communion table with him. Never sat down at a meal with him like they did in the scriptures. Where our Lord has been physically present, but yet we have sat down with the Lord Jesus Christ and communed with him and talked with him as a friend with a friend. Oh, the true believer, he knows Christ. Knows him. Knows him. Knows that he knows him. You see, the Lord reveals his heart to the believer, and the believer reveals his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Huh? So we've received him himself. We've received him in our knowledge. We know him. Job said it this way, I know my Redeemer lives. I know he does. And he's received the Lord Jesus into his understanding. Into his understanding. What I mean by that is that we understand to some degree the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That he loved us before we ever loved him. That he loved his Father. And loved his Father to the obedience of death. That his love was so great. His love was so pure. His love was so powerful. His love was so mighty. That it, beloved, covered a multitude of sins. That it so loved, he so loved the Word. And he so loved the will. And he so loved the obedience to his Father, that he laid everything himself included before his Father and done always the things he pleased. He loved his people enough before they ever existed to identify himself with them. Identify. How do you? There's going to be a lot of people. There's a lot of religious people who want to identify themselves with us. They won't do it. I told a man the other day, I said, I pastor Lantana Grace Church out there on Lantana Road. He said, oh, he said. Then his wife came in there and said, here's the pastor of Lantana Grace Church over there. Oh, she said. And he's showing me some facts he's given. There's a lot of people that don't want to have fellowship with you. Don't want to identify with you. God said he's not ashamed to be called our name.
That's right.
Christ identifies with us. And I identify with him. Huh? He, beloved, he so loved his people that he said, I'm going to identify myself with that sorry, that low down, that miserable, wretched, God-hating, Christ-rejecting sinner. Donald Bell. I'm going to identify with him. And I'm going to take everything that's against him to myself. And I'm going to take it all out of the way.
That's right.
Huh? Oh, my. And we understand that he was the Ancient of Days. Daniel saw the Ancient of Days. And yet that we understand why he became the Ancient of Days, became a baby in a mother's womb,
yes,
born
sir.
Of God,
yes,
conceived of God, the seed of God, the Holy Ghost conceived him in the womb of a virgin. And that when he came forth from that womb of virgin, he was the Ancient of Days, the creator of that woman, the sustainer of that woman, the savior of that woman. And yet he laid in her arms and was subject to her till he became a grown man.
That's right.
We understand, beloved, that he became one flesh with us. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. We understand and believe and know by experience the meaning of substitution. Oh, it's more than just a word to us. The innocent taking the place of the guilty. The just taking the place of the unjust. That he, beloved, when he died on the cross, he wasn't dying for himself. He was the innocent one. But he became guilty by taking our guilt. And justice that demanded our death. The justice that demanded our punishment was inflicted on Christ. And is satisfied. And we understand how that grace is now magnified. How can it be magnified in our salvation? Because it reigns by righteousness. How does it reign by righteousness? God punished our sins in a substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he can justly, holy, and graciously save us because Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, I understand that. I understand that's the only way God can save a sinner. I understand that's the only way I can be saved. Any man can be saved. Sin must be paid for. Death must be inflicted on the sinner. Justice must come and say, I demand satisfaction. Christ stood up and says, death, inflict your worst on me. Justice, pull out your sword and plunge it into my soul. And God did. And now God saves us by another. Oh, John Bunyan said it this way, how I live on this earth by the righteousness of another who lives in another land. Who lives in it? Oh my. The believer doesn't see or read about Christ as just some historical person. One who cannot be touched. One who cannot be seen. One who cannot be heard. They've received him into their understanding. Let me show you over here in 1 Peter just a minute. Let's look at this a minute. 1 Peter chapter 2. We've received him into our understanding. We've received him into our himself and in our knowledge. Oh, we know some things about our Lord Jesus Christ. Received our Lord into his understanding. This is what I'm talking about. He's not somebody we cannot touch, we cannot see, we cannot deal, that we can't enjoy. He's more than just a historical figure. He says in verse 2, as newborn babes, that's the first thing receiving Christ. You become a newborn baby. And then you drink the sincere milk of the Word. And you grow. You grow. You don't grow by an historical person. You grow by a living person. And you live by that person. And watch this. And not only have you drunk the milk, but you've also tasted. How can you taste an historical person? You taste a person, a real person. You taste the Lord, and that He is gracious. You taste it. You've cherished it. It's savor to your tongue. That the Lord is gracious. It's enjoyable to your taste. And not only have you got milk and have you tasted, but you're not coming to an historical person. You're coming to a living person, a living stone. Amen. Chosen of God and precious. Huh? And we're living stones. We're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, and we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Look over in 1 John chapter 1 just a minute again. We've received Christ into our understanding. That's what John says here in verse 1. Talking about receiving Christ in our understanding. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of life. Now watch it. For the life was manifested, we saw it. We bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested unto the... That which we have seen and heard declare unto you. We've handled it. We've touched it. We're telling you about it. Our eyes have seen it. We've handled it. And what we've seen and handled itself, we tell you that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Huh? Oh, we've received Him into our understanding. And also, we've received Him into our hearts. We've received Him into our affections, if I can say it like that. We've received Him into our affections. I know that we sing that song, Oh, how I love Jesus. And we do. And we do. My soul, how we love our Master. And we wish that our hearts were bigger and greater so that we could rejoice in the Lord Jesus and love Him more. Oh, our greatest grief is that we don't love Him anymore than we already do. Because we know that His love for us is eternal, unchanging, immutable, never change. But oh, our affections. We love Him. We love Him. We need Him. And we've received the Lord Jesus by faith into our trust. Paul said it this way, I know whom I have believed. Believed. And I know, I'm persuaded that whatsoever I've committed unto Him. That word commit means to trust, commit to your trust, to believe I've committed unto Him. And that He is able. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You see, we receive Him by faith. By faith. You see, the believer knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is able. Able. Able to save. Not only to save, but to keep us saved. Because if He don't keep us saved, we're not going to stay saved. We're not going to stay saved. Me and you wouldn't make it through the service right now without the Lord Jesus Christ. Our minds are here, yonder, and everywhere. Our hearts is down and up and in and out. Minds is here, yonder, and everything else. And trying our best to hold on, hang out, look up, look down, look left, look right. Trying our best to do whatever we possibly can to keep our hearts and minds on Christ. But we received Him by faith.
Stays the same.
He's able to save us. He's able to keep us. Bless His holy name. Amen. You know that prison that Milton goes into and where I went into last week three times? Huge crowds. All men just came out all over the place. And that prison, there's only one more level that you go that's more secure in the federal prison system than that one right there. I mean, they got some mean characters in that place. Mean characters in that place. And you know, I go in there and I don't feel a bit uncomfortable. Not a bit. God opened the door. God gave me something to say. And I know where I'm going to hair my head be harmed unless it's the will of God.
That's right.
And those men sense that. And they pay attention because of that. They know that I'm not afraid. They know that I'm not intimidated. And they sit up and listen. And so many of them that remember me being there all these times, they just were so glad to see me again. I'm glad to see thee. Why is that? Because Christ is able to keep.
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah, He's able to keep.
Now, if I went in there thinking, you know, I'm going to keep myself and I'm in this thing from, I'd be scared to death. But He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's going to take care of His sheep. I ain't never seen a sheep take care of itself, have you? It's never sheared itself. Never fed itself. Didn't birth itself. Didn't go from one. The shepherd has to take care of the sheep. And we received our Lord Jesus. It says here, first of all, we receive Him as Christ, the one that the Father sent into this world, the anointed one, the one that God says, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." We received Him as Jesus. Jesus, Jehovah Savior. That's what it means. Jehovah Savior. Thou shalt call His name. Back in our text, verse 6. We received Him as Christ. We received Him as Jehovah Savior. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. And we've received Him as the Lord. Huh? Our will is subject to His will. And this verse of Scripture here, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. It describes our utter and absolute dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, as you have received. It don't say anything about earning. Don't say anything about meriting or working or earning. All we do is we receive. We take, He gives, and we take. We're charity cases. If we get anything, we have to receive it. We have to take it. If we get anything He gives, we receive it. It's like Claudia told me down there the other day. She said, "You know, we got to learn how to receive as easy as good as taking. You know, a lot of folks don't know how to receive things. You know, they don't know how, and because they used so used to giving, and so used to working, so used to earning." He said, if somebody wants to do something for us, we ought to receive it the same way they give it to us. If they give it to us out of love, receive it in love. They give it to us out of grace, receive it graciously. And that's part of everything we've got. What have we got that we didn't receive? Huh? And if we get anything at all, He gives and we take. And then look at this assurance. As ye have, therefore, certainly. It's a certainty. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Now let's look here at this walking real quick. Let me give you this walking. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Three sayings here about walking. When you walk, that means you're continually walking. You know, when you're walking, that means that walk ye in Christ Jesus as you receive. Continually. And then there's progress. When you walk, you don't just walk in place. You're going someplace. You're going making some progress. And when you're walking, there's some activity involved in walking. And He says, as you receive Christ Jesus as your all, continue receiving Christ Jesus. Huh? Continue walking in Christ. Continue to receive Him as your all in all. Who else are we going to go to? Who else are we going to trust in? Who else? Live entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't live on your frames of mind. My frame of mind, oh my soul, that's just, it's awful, this frame. My mind is so dull and so dead and so lifeless that I feel like I can't get my attention focused on anything. You don't have that problem, and I hope you never do. But live entirely upon Christ, not on your frames of mind, not on your feelings. We're complete in Him, and you can't add anything to Him. And so as you receive it, continue to walk in Him.
Amen.
And progress. When walking means growing, seeing your greater need of Him, the more you walk in Him, the more you know about Him, the more you see your utter and absolute dependence on Him.
Amen.
There was an old preacher says, "His bad works done Him more good than His good works. Because His good works done Him some harm." And they said, "How in the world can that be?" He says, "My bad works drive me to Christ. It makes me come to Christ. My thoughts and feelings makes me come to Christ. And any good I've done makes me rely on myself." And anything that makes you rely on yourself, that's not progress. That's going backwards. And oh, to be brought to utter and absolute dependence on Christ. And then walk. Walk. Walk in Christ. Walking means that you're not lazy. You're active as a believer. Huh? And then He says, "As you have therefore received the Lord Jesus Christ, walk ye in Him." How are we to walk in Him? How are we walk in Him? Just the same way we received Him. Well, how did you receive it? Well, it says there in verse 7, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We receive the Lord Jesus Christ so thankfully, so gratefully. We had no claims to His grace. We had no claims upon Him. Nothing in our hands we bring simply to Christ, our Lord, we can claim. Oh, I'm so thankful for the Lord Jesus. Oh, I received Him. Don't you receive Him thankfully? And we received Him humbly. You know, see if you don't agree with this. We had less pride the day we bowed to Him than we ever had or ever will have. The day you submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, the day you cried out for mercy, the day you cried out, God save me and have mercy on me, there was less pride that day than you ever, less than you ever had or ever will have. You're just broken in heart, just contrite in spirit. Remember what you thought about yourself when you came to Him and you saw yourself as what you were. Huh? Do you remember that, what you thought of yourself? Dead dog, sinner, ashamed of yourself, ashamed of your life, ashamed of everything about you. Could He possibly have anything to do with me? Huh? Oh, my. And we received Him joyfully. Oh my, the joy that flooded our soul the day we believed, the day He revealed Himself to us, made Himself known to us, the day He took the burden, the day He took the guilt, the day He took all the shame away from us. Huh? Oh, how joyful we were. And we received Him in grace. In grace. We said, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, take the best seat in the house. Come be my Lord. Come be my Master. Give me your cross. No matter what, come, Lord Jesus. I care not what comes as long as you come. As long as you come. And we received Him unreservedly. We held nothing back. Absolutely nothing. We gave ourselves away. And as He gave Himself to us, we give ourselves to Him. We held nothing back. Absolutely nothing. We never made no bargains. Never struck no deals. We just bowed and said, Lord, I want You. I need You. And here I am and everything that I am. And even now we pray, if there be any wicked way in me, save me.
Amen.
Save me from it. Let me give you this in closing. Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost, you followers of the cross? Are you prepared for your Master's sake to suffer all worldly loss? And can you endure with that virgin band the lowly and pure in heart, who whithersoever the Lamb doth lead, from His footsteps ne'er depart? Do you answer, we can? Do you answer, we can? Through His love's constraining power. But do you remember the flesh is weak and will shrink in the trial hour? Yet yield to His love, who around you now the bands of a man would cast, the cords of His love, who was given for you to His altar, binding you fast. You may count the cost, you may count the cost of all of Egypt's treasure, but the riches of Christ you never can count. His love you never can measure. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Our gracious Father, thank You for meeting with us today. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Gospel. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for grace. Thank You for making Yourself known to us, coming to our understanding and enlightening, coming to our brain and teaching us and instructing us in the things of Christ. And help us, O Lord Jesus, by Your grace to walk in You. Walk like we received You. in grace, in humility, in truth, in faith. Oh, God, help us, please, for Christ's sake. Amen.